I should have.
I'll give you the sermon. Well, if I gave it to you, I could hand it out
that's
and just
why
go sit down.
But
I'll share it with you.
Indicated, far north to me is little Alaska.
there was another announcement I forgot. I'm sure most of you are aware that Mrs. Swanson is back in the hospital.
I think I must have about 2.5
sure
feet on
just
my roof.
Appreciate your prayers that she would recover.
Hey, I want
to
talk about how do I love my brother.
So please think of her and Mr. Swanson in your prayers. And
love is a deep
that.
Subject. With many applications.
Listening to Mr. Kelly with a sermon.
Also means
Kelly with a sermon.
To show others,
I was thinking, I have 10 brothers.
How much you care for them.
And,
but as we
yeah,
see
I got,
in the
I got all the
hand
me down,
there isn't a whole lot of
bruises
out there in the world.
I had 3 brothers younger
like
than me, so I could pass on a little bit. But,
out there
but,
really
but
don't
what you're
care
saying
too
is
too
so true because one of my brothers died about 10 years ago. Two died last year.
And look out for me. World.
It's amazing how much
even
you
in families
them,
nowadays
you
more
think
than
about
ever
all
mothers and fathers,
you did growing
husbands
up,
and wives,
everything you share,
brothers and sisters,
so
siblings in all walks
that,
of life.
That sermon that meant a lot.
There's
to
me. Not much
appreciate
love
that.
Shown.
You know, we're already into the second
fact,
month of the year, and that means we only have another month and a half
TV,
of cold weather.
You know, they will
lucky.
Find that there are a lot of families at
but
war,
it's
or at least
it also means that God's holy days are getting closer.
No, today I just want to show a few.
How has your year been?
How, to,
has it
how
been
do
a good
I love
year
my
you?
Brother? Once again,
you know, we all have trials of one sort or another that we have to deal with throughout the year.
How do I love my brother?
But how did
well,
you handle the trials you were
see.
Faced with?
Sometimes,
over this past year,
when dealing with brothers,
did you do okay?
You just have to show them.
Did you grow? Did you learn something?
No, when you are coming.
Each
through,
year we live our lives as Christians, it seems
out of the way.
To include.
You know,
trials.
No doubt about
we
it.
Just can't get away from
if you're older,
they seem to follow us around.
Therefore, they
we have
are
no choice
inferior.
But to deal with them. And some of the trials are serious.
It's okay to shove them
health,
out of the way.
You know, jobs.
Because
losing
that
homes,
shows love.
You know,
right?
Very serious trials. And others
it's okay
are
to hit them,
minor trials.
Hit them or slap them
but again, they're
the
all
head.
Trials.
Yes, that is showing love to your brother.
But when these
right?
type
like
of trials affect us and our families,
if your brother lives next door,
you know, it's
all right
it's good
to
think
to throw
of
your
the other brethren around
the world
who are also experiencing trials.
Well, after all, he's your brother.
Not that that makes ours any easier.
So you can just get into his tools
but,
for something you need anytime you,
you know,
want
we all
without asking or
God's
telling.
Truth.
You know, you can
we
argue and fight.
From our trials.
And that's all right.
Tribulations that we deal
it's okay
with.
Okay to call him
life.
Names like idiot or stupid.
Turn with me to 1 Peter 4.
You're the boss
1 Peter 4.
Especially if he's your little brother.
Verse 12.
You know, when I was young,
beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as
right.
though some strange thing happened.
And I had a younger brother that I didn't
but rejoice to the
right
extent
either.
That you partake of Christ's suffering.
Like
that when his
thing.
Glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. You know, what did we learn? Can we come out of trials in a positive attitude? Thinking. What we did learn, how we grew,
my brother, I don't think.
How we can help others that are going to experience
no,
the same
really
trials
the way
we
to
just
love
went
your brother.
Through.
Absolutely
but my message
not.
Today isn't about the trials
it is
that
most
we have,
likely
it's about how we handle the trials
brother.
That we have.
You know, so how do I really love
you know, that,
to show love towards my brother?
Having trials gets us thinking.
Let's take
more
a look
about God and more about
John,
Jesus Christ.
1 John 4.
And as we think about the Passover coming up in just a few weeks, are we thinking about being prepared for
James,
Passover?
Peter,
are we looking back over the year and
John
saying,
4,
what did we do
let's read
in a positive way?
Verses
how did we handle
20,
ourselves? Did we handle ourselves in a Christian
21.
Manner? Did we include
if
God
we,
in any trials
says, I
that
love
we may
God
have had,
and hates his
asking
brother,
him to help us
liar.
Get through them? Did we rely on
or,
him?
He who does not love his
we
brother
understand
whom he has
that
seen,
Christ made a sacrifice
how can he love God whom he has not
that allows us to know
you know,
that
in
God
this commandment we have from
that allows us
that
to know that we can call
God
on God to help us
must
get
love his brother also.
But just take a little time to think about the things you've overcome
this is a command
since you've been in God's church, since God opened your mind to his truth.
And
I don't mean to think about that in a vain
Romans 12.
Way, but I mean to think about that in an honest, humble way. Because we have overcome things, not by ourselves, not on our own, but because God was there with us. And we've overcome because Jesus Christ made a sacrifice for us. gave us a future, gave us
blue under my Bible pages too.
Just a world that we really can't even think of.
It's like a Romans 12.
That he's going to bring back and that's going to exist.
Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love.
But we should never let the Passover sneak up on
one another.
We shouldn't get so sidetracked through the year with trials, with other things that are going on, that we forget that the Passover.
Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving.
We should always remember.
Rejoicing in hope.
Jesus Christ.
Patient in tribulation.
What he did for us.
Continuing steadfastly in prayer.
We know that the Passover is the beginning of God's holy day. A new year. A time of recommitment. A time that we can go.
Persecute you.
And take the symbols.
Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those
Passover,
who rejoice and weep
and
with those
let God
weep.
Know, let Jesus Christ
be
know
the same mind
that we want to be there.
Another.
We're not there because
not
we have
mind on
we're there
right
because
things,
we want to
associate with the
we want to recommit.
Do not be wise in
we
your
want
own
to take
opinion.
The year we just came
you
through
no one evil for
with
evil.
A learning
every
experience
for good things
and grow further
men.
The next year.
If it is possible,
but we want
much
to just make that commitment
on, you, live peacefully
on our own
with all
because
men.
That's what we want to do.
Brethren, this includes your physical brother and your spiritual
brother.
As
we near the Passover
well,
season,
both.
We go through a preparation
both
process.
For either one of them.
And we know that we are at
no,
the
we
first
are all
of God's holy day.
We must learn
represent
to love
his
one
master
another
plan.
In spite
a plan that we understand because God opened our mind to understand it. A plan that the world
let's
doesn't.
Let's turn to another scripture, Ephesians.
In our relationship with God, we know the central role that Jesus Christ played. He's our Savior and soon coming King.
32.
And each of his holy days reflect
tender-hearted,
tell us about
forgiving
his plan.
One another, even as Christ has forgiven you.
The Passover lamb slaughtered by each head of the household
like
in ancient Israel
is
understood by most to represent Jesus Christ.
Take a lot.
The protection from death.
Be kind to our brothers and sisters.
But the death penalty was taken away
not looking
by that
for
lamb.
Ways to get
they were protected.
To
just as we're protected by the death of Jesus you know, Christ. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians.
Verse 5. 1-2 says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved
7.
Us, and give himself
it says,
for
therefore,
us.
Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. Since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ our Passover
God wants
sacrifice
to be,
for
us. To become just like
Jesus
Christ
and his Father, God, made
we
that decision.
Live every day, trying to
and how many of us who have children, who have grandchildren,
what Christ
can
did.
Relate to that? That we would be willing
following
to sacrifice
way,
one of our children,
James 2,
sacrifice their life
the
so somebody else
is naked and destitute of daily food.
What an awesome thing to do.
And one of you said
what kind
to
of
him,
love
hard
does
that peace,
take to do
be
that?
Warmed and filled.
You know, it's a
but
love
do
I don't think we'll really understand until we're spirit
body,
beings.
What does it profit?
Because we know the love that
it
we have
do
for
any
our
good
children
at all.
And grandchildren.
No, if one really loves
anything.
His brother the way he should, he
and
would
we
provide
would protect
the
them.
Help that he needs.
And
when
whatever
he needs
way
it,
we have to do.
As much as possible.
But would we give them up? Would we give their lives for someone else? God and Jesus Christ made the decision to do that because they love us so much. That's why it's so important that we don't just think about the Passover now that it's just a few weeks away, but we think about that all year long, 365 days a year. Because what we do and how we grow spiritually depends on how we look at the Passover, how we perceive the Passover.
By this we know love.
The killing and shedding of blood of the Passover lamb foreshadowed the death and shed blood of Christ
for the brethren.
Because
whoever
Jesus
has
made himself sacrifice
good, and sees
for us,
his brother in need and shuts
we can
up
receive
his heart
redemption
from
and forgiveness
how does he
for
love
our
his,
sins.
You know, how does the love of God abide?
Where would mankind be without that?
My little children,
really
let us not love in word
future.
Or in tongue.
Have a physical life,
indeed,
and after that we have nothing.
Truth.
That is so important. Turn with me to 1 Peter.
There are a few points that I put down on
First
how
Peter,
to love your brother.
In chapter 1. 1 Peter
one
chapter
is when,
1.
When your brother is happy,
in verse 18,
you need to be happy for him.
Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or
no,
gold from
critical,
your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ
as
of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
Is, whatever, if
he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest
evil,
in these last times for you,
who
through him believe in God, who raised him from
another
the dead
point,
and gave him glory, so that your faith and
your
hope
brother.
Are in God. That's the only hope we have, is in God. We look at things over in the Middle East. We look at Egypt, who had a dictator for a leader. He's gone. And we look at what the changes that have happened there in less than a month. The leader's gone. The people have spoken, and they wanted him out of power, and he left. But now what's left for the people there?
And another point,
who knows? It's unknown. It could be worse than what they have. Because only God, only Jesus Christ, can run a government and have a government that's driven by love, that's driven by a real concern for people.
As much as is
possible. Mubarak was a dictator, and he was there, and he was the best the United States had to deal with. Because he kept the Middle East safe. But that's sad.
But it is a godly thing to do what
the government he ran was for himself.
So remember, God commands us to do unto others what we would have them do unto us.
I think they talked about $5 billion
not very nice to my little brother
when he left.
And I did things like yelling at him.
I've also heard the banks have frozen his accounts. I don't know how true that is, but I would bet he went out of Egypt with more money than we could probably put together in this room. That he took care of himself.
So I did that.
But that's what man's government
and such like, but not all the time.
God's government.
Sometimes I would stick up for him and help him. But guess what? He grew
Turn
up.
Turn with me to John chapter 1.
He got bigger than me.
John chapter 1.
Yeah, he was bigger and stronger. And I only picked on him a little bit after
verse
that.
Verse 29. John chapter 1.
The last time I seen my brother was right after the Feast of Tabernacles.
Talking about Christ here. And it says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John knew who Jesus Christ was. He knew that he was the only one that could do that. That could take away the sins of the world. Nobody else could.
I got him out of bed the morning, the next morning.
Jesus Christ lived a life that was free of sin. He was the only one that could sacrifice for us.
This was in
the death of Jesus wasn't caused by any sin
and
he committed.
What?
Because Jesus lived a
sin-free
life.
He died of a massive
it was caused
attack.
By the sins of mankind.
And
we can't blame anybody
strong.
Else.
We
have to look at ourselves. There was a song by one of the Christian singers, and I can't think of his
Maybe
name, but in the song he was singing
Nobody
about
knows.
They were gathered around when they were crucifying Christ.
So do it now.
And he was on everybody. He was yelling at everybody and asking them why they're doing this. They have no right to do that, to crucify Christ. And they should stop. And then he said he turned around and he saw the hammer that Christ was being nailed to the cross with in his own hand. That he was just as responsible for the death of Jesus Christ as everybody else because he had sinned. And we all have to take part in that. You know, the whole world does, because we sinned and Jesus Christ had to come and give his life for us. Romans chapter 3, if you turn there with me, please. Romans chapter 3. And in verse 23, and we've read this verse thousands of times, but for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, it's one thing we all have in common. We've all sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. But you know, with God's truth, we recognize that we've sinned. We recognize that we continue to sin and we fall short. But we know that if we have a repentant attitude and we go to God and ask him for forgiveness, he'll forgive us. And not only will he forgive us, but he'll forget what we've done. How many in God's church today carry grudges from 20, 30, 40 years ago? Somebody offended them. Somebody said something. And they still carry grudges today. How can we, if that happens to be us, that we carry a grudge and won't forgive and forget, how can we expect Jesus Christ to come back to a church that has not prepared itself for him? You know, we have to take advantage of the opportunities that God puts in front of us to reevaluate, to reconnect. And the Passover does that every year. It gives us that opportunity to take another look at ourselves, to think about the past year. Where do I need to grow? Who do I need to apologize to? Who do I need to forgive? How do I move on? That's what we need to do. That's what God expects all of us to do. 1 Peter 1, if you turn back there with me. 1 Peter 1, verse 18. says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible, I think I've already read that one. I did. I've already read that verse. But, you know, we have to remember what Jesus Christ did for us. The birth of Christ was a huge event. We needn't even ever think it wasn't. It was a huge event. But we in God's church, we don't get into all the celebration and everything that goes on around Christmas time that the world does, because the world doesn't know how to get past Christmas. The day after Christmas, it's over for what the world knows and what they believe. They don't understand there's a whole lot more to it than that. We understand the sacrifice that Jesus Christ came to make for us. We understand there's a lot more to it than Christmas. We understand there's a plan. And we know that by the death of Christ, we're freed from the death penalty. He did that for us. And our sins have been forgiven and forgotten. They no longer exist. In John, the book of John, if you turn there with me, please. Chapter 1. Verse 14. Says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's who Jesus Christ is. And we need to focus on Him and think about that, who He is, what He's doing for us daily. Because He came and He gave up. He surrendered His God-level position for us. He surrendered His eternal spiritual existence for us. And He was put to death for us. And we know He was in the grave 3 days and three nights, and then He was resurrected. He's our Savior. He's our soon coming King. He's our Lord of Lords. He sacrificed for us. We can't forget that. That's part of our preparation for the Passover. All year long, that we understand the sacrifice that was made for us. All of us as human beings are in slavery to sin. And remember what it says in Romans 3:23, we all have sinned. But only we can remain slaves. We can make that decision to remain a slave to sin, or we can become slaves of Jesus Christ. It's our decision. We have to make it. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18, in verse 4, says, behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. We were under that death penalty without Christ. We didn't have a future without Christ. We need to remember that every day. It seems like God could have just forgiven us. God could have just forgiven Adam and Eve and said, you know what? You made a mistake. You said you're sorry. Let's move on. And given them eternal life. But God had been through that before with Satan. God knew what sin could do. And God not tolerate sin. There had to be a sacrifice. There had to be something so important, something so meaningful, something so full of love that had to be sacrificed that could overcome sin and cause the Father to allow us to have our sins forgiven and give us an opportunity. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And in verse 17, it says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. We have the opportunity. God has given us the knowledge of His truth. It's our job to learn what God's truth is, and then it's our job to teach to the world. to not change anything, to not add on. I was talking to a gentleman in Kalamazoo, and he was talking about when he was looking for God's church that he had come in contact with several groups that really you couldn't worship God because of all of the additions they had put on to God's truth. You couldn't get to the Bible. I mean, it's the same thing the Pharisees did. God's truth wasn't good enough. His commandments weren't good enough. So we're going to add on, 600 things that we need you to do before you can be a Christian or before God will approve. You know, mankind destroys God's truth and destroys God's word by what we do to it, other than look at it and allow God's truth to come through. You know, we try to create God in our image instead of letting God create us in his image. God knows better than we do. God expects us to obey his commandments. And his commandments are summed up in the law of love. It's very simple. If we love each other and we grow in that godly love, there's not any reason or any way we're going to hurt each other. We're not going to steal from each other. We're not going to harm each other. We're not going to lie to each other. We're just going to have godly love for one another. That's what God expects. That's what we need to be doing throughout the year. And if we think about that sacrifice that Christ made for us, if we think about the Passover year round, we'll grow in that love. We'll dedicate ourselves to God. We'll want to follow Jesus Christ. Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and in verse 36. Here Christ is being asked a question. He says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Love. Love is the answer. It was nothing we do. Back years ago, and it was in the 70s, early 70s, mid-70s, and some of you may have been there, we used to set up Roma Hall for Passover. Big place, and it was probably 1,200 people there, whatever, for Passover. And I remember how ceremonial it got. You know, how rigid it got. Every chair was perfect. It wasn't a chair out of place. I mean, everything was just lined up so perfect. And then when the men who were distributing the wine and bread it was like a military march. And I look back on that and I thought, you know, we look good, but did we know why we were there? Or was it all show? Because God's not impressed with the show. And I'm thinking, you know, we probably, a lot of us, because a lot of those people aren't here now, but did we really get the meaning of the Passover? Did we prepare? Or did we just prepare to look good? And that's always kind of haunted me because I was there setting up and, you know, making sure the chairs were straight. And I never did qualify to hand out the bread and wine. But, you know, it just makes me think that, you know, this is so important that God doesn't care about ceremony. He cares about our hearts and how we feel. And we need to go to the Passover and be respectful and attend that memorial service very respectfully. But God wants what's in our heart, not all of the ceremony and how good we look. But love is a fulfillment of the law. That's what Christ is telling us here. If all of us human beings would keep God's law, we would produce and maintain a peaceful, loving world. You know, we see that around the world, how people are mistreated, how they're misused. You look at Haiti, for instance, after the earthquake. Nothing's changed for those people down there. Those poor people who had nothing lost the nothing that they had, and now they don't even have that because all of that money, all of that food isn't reaching them. It's reaching the pockets of the leaders, of the corrupt. That's where that money's going. And that's a sad sample of the world. That's what's going on. And no wonder God has to come back and Jesus Christ has to set up his government so these people aren't like that. People aren't being mistreated. But think about it, if those leaders loved those people, they wouldn't be living in shacks or sleeping outdoors. They wouldn't be hungry. They would be fed and they'd be housed and they'd be taken care of. And maybe the leaders would go hungry and sacrifice themselves to help the people. But that's what this world is. That's what's going on. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. In verse 5. Here Moses is giving some direction. In verse 5 it says, "Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act accordingly, according to them in the land which you go possess. Therefore be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all of these statutes and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.' For what great nation is there that has God so near to it? And the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him. And what great nation is there that has set statutes and righteous judgments as are in all the law which I set before you this day?" They had everything. They had everything. Call upon God for any need they had. And that's what Moses was telling them. All we need to do is obey God. Everything's there for you. God wants them to be successful. He wants them to have plenty. But he also wants them to obey. He also wants them to grow in the love toward one another that he has. What an opportunity was put before the ancient Israelites. What an opportunity is put before us when God opened our mind. Because we know what the promised land looks like. We know what it's going to be. We have that opportunity to be there. Are we making sure that we're mindful of the sacrifice that was made to get us there? Turn with me to 1 John. 1 John 3, verse 4. It says, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." You know, we have to separate ourselves from sin. When we take the Passover and we make that recommitment to God, we need to put distance between us and sin, as much distance as we can. But again, to be mindful of that. Not get distracted. Not allow ourselves, just as leaven, even a little amount of leaven, will puff up, will grow. A little bit of sin will do the same thing. And it can get out of control before we know it. We have to be aware of that. We have to be mindful of that. If we sin, death is our punishment. Unless we go to God and we repent and we ask God for help to overcome, help us to conquer sin. Jesus Christ did. Help us to say to Satan to get behind me and to ask God to give us that strength through his Holy Spirit that we need to get through the year. You know, the truth is there's no other way to save mankind from the penalty of sin than what Jesus Christ did. We don't have the answers. There's no way we can do anything. Matthew chapter 5, if you turn there with me. Matthew chapter 5. I think I've already read that one. I did. I give you a double dose here today, but I've already read that one. But God expects us to obey his commandments. And are we doing that? Are we taking time to ask God to help us to grow? Are we taking time when we recognize, and who can recognize our weaknesses better than ourselves? But are we admitting those weaknesses? Are we in a repentant state of mind? Mr. Luker talked about that. That's where we need to be. We We need not be too proud to go to God and say, you know what, I can't handle this. I can't seem to overcome this. I can't deal with this. Or I've carried this grudge for years and I just can't seem to forgive my brother for what he said or did to me. I need help doing that. And God will give us that help. But we need to be truly united. We need to be loving and kind to one another, just as God and Jesus Christ are loving and kind to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And in verse 6, it says, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? And that includes the whole church. That's just not us as individuals. You know, if we in God's church don't do our part, if we bring sin into the church and don't do anything about it, we can cause damage to the whole body of Christ. We need to do our part. We need to be aware. Again, we need to grow and help each other. You know, Moses got help. Moses had help holding his hands up. When he was tired, he just couldn't do it anymore by himself. He got help. We can help one another, and we can help hold each other's hands up. We can get through this and prepare ourselves to reconcile, to recommit with Jesus Christ. Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26. And verse 14. It says, but if you do not obey me, and you do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, I also will do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemy shall eat it. You know, if we reject God, God will reject us. He will turn his back on us as we turn his back on him, just as the world has done. But we, just a small group of people that God has called out and shared his truth with at this time, we can set an example. I remember in 95 when there was a split in the church, there was a young man that worked for me. And we would talk from time to time. His dad was a minister, and we would talk. And he knew what was going on in the church. Ron Leib would talk to him from time to time, too. So he was aware that there were problems in the church. That they were going to do away with the Sabbath and the holy days and everything that we believed in. And when the split came, he came to me a few weeks later, and he just said, you know, he said, I don't believe what you believe. He said, but I respect you for sticking by what you believe. You held fast to that. And I always appreciated that, because we may not know it, but the world watches what we do. They see what we do. They watch and see the example that we set. Do we really mean what we say? Do we live a Christian life? You know, at the workplace, you know, it's a challenge sometimes with working with some particular people, but it's a challenge sometimes to stay in a Christian attitude. But we have to do that. We have to honor or represent Jesus Christ every day. All around the world, there are wars, famine, disease, oppressions, crime, poverty. And man can't do anything with it, because man doesn't know what to do, but Jesus Christ does. Turn with me, or Leviticus, stay in Leviticus 26, but let's go down to verse 40. Leviticus 26 and verse 40. It says, but if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, and that they also have walked contrary to me, and that I also have walked contrary to them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If their uncircumcised hearts are humbled, and they accept their guilt, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham. I will remember. God will remember us. We need to obey him and honor him. Seek his help. continually looking towards that Passover commitment that we take every year. Continue looking at the sacrifice Jesus Christ made for us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse 8, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Can you imagine if God and Christ made the decision that Jesus Christ would come and sacrifice once we quit sinning? Once mankind quit sinning, then that sacrifice would be made. Well, it never would have been made. But they made that decision while we were still sinners. And in verse 10 it says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." That's so amazing that every year we get to do that. We get to keep the Passover. We get to take the symbols of Christ's body and of his shed blood and participate and show God where our heart is, where our commitment is, that we want to live his way, that we want to be forgiven, that we want the help to overcome, that we need him. Sin is an enemy of God, and if we allow ourselves to be taken in by sin, we could become enemies of God, and I know no one wants that, because sin will separate us from God. It will put a wall up between us and God, put a distance between us, and we don't need that at all. And even though we were sentenced to death for our sins, Christ's sacrifice caused that death penalty to be taken away and to pass from us. And God forgave and forgot our sins, and the sins we committed. God has so much love for his creation. You know, in John 3:16, we see that on billboards, barns, anywhere, trucks, t-shirts. People probably have it tattooed on them, but John 3:16, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What love is that? How can we just appreciate that love that he had for us for that? Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." That's how we have eternal life, through Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice. No other way. No other way. I remember years ago, too, in the church, if you heard a sermon about love, sometimes people would make fun of that because, well, what's love got to do with this or that? We've got more important things to do than love somebody. But, you know, that's the center of God's truth. That's what God and Jesus Christ are all about. It's love, and loving one another, forgiving one another, helping one another. Acts 2.38. You turn there with me. Acts 2.38. Acts 2 and in verse 38. Says, "Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." God wants to call everybody. He wants everybody to know his truth. He wants us to be in a repentant frame of mind, to admit that we don't have the answers, to admit we can't do it by ourselves, and that we need him. I pray that we all allow the Holy Spirit to help us in everything that we do, putting our trust in God and Christ every day, 365 days. Because without God, without the help that he gives us, we're going to continue to struggle. And we should desire to walk with God according to his way, not walk with God according to our ways. But keeping our relationship with God the number one thing that we do every day. To build on that relationship. To understand what He did for us. That He gave His only Son for us. Because He loves us. Think about your life as a Christian. And think about the good times we've had in God's church. Think about the joy that God's truth has brought us. That we have understanding that we never would have had. Think about our calling. Think about the times we've kept the Passover. Those opportunities that God continually lays out in front of us. Think about the love that God and Christ have for us. And our life as a Christian. And where we would be without God's calling. We need to think about those things. Because as Christians, we can't stand still. We need to grow. We need to be moving. We need to be learning. We need to be overcoming. So we need to dwell on godly things. We need to please God. And as we examine ourselves throughout the year, we no longer seek to go our way, but we seek to go God's way. Because that's what overcoming is all about. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in verse 6. It says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. We know the things of God. God has opened our minds to that. We understand that. We understand His plan. We're preparing ourselves to be part of the God family. We're preparing ourselves to be like Jesus Christ. And to sacrifice for others, to learn to love others. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. You know, we should always be praying, asking God to guide and direct us. Help us understand. Help us stay committed to Him. Help us to prepare for this Passover, to really take into our hearts and our minds and understand what went on with the sacrifice that was made for us and why that sacrifice was made. As we embark each year to live as a Christian, we should follow that example of Jesus Christ. Because we learn more and more how God writes the law of His love into our hearts and minds. God will teach us if we make ourselves teachable. That's up to us. We need to be teachable and be willing to learn, be willing to understand God's way. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Very familiar verse. Philippians 2 and verse 5. That let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the mind we should be developing. A spiritual mind. A mind that thinks on godly things, not on worldly things. Or not being distracted from what's important in our lives. And what's important is our eternal life. Romans 6 and verse 12. Romans 6. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are the one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness. We have a choice. What do we want to do? Do we want to be a slave to sin or do we want to be a slave to God? I'm sure we all pick God. But the Passover coming up is very, very important. Most important time of the year for each of us. And it's something we really need to dwell on. Something we really need to think about. Something we need to humble ourselves about. Talk to God. Ask Him to give us a clear picture of what Him and Jesus Christ did for us, of the importance of the Passover, of how we can improve throughout this next year, learning to love one another, forgive one another, to become more like them. It's very important that we do, that we learn to grow, that we learn to do things God's way. We've got a short time this year before the Passover gets here. But we have time to prepare ourselves. We have time to take the Passover in the right way. Taking it with our hearts full of love for God and Jesus Christ. Full of love for each other. You know, when we go and we follow that example of Christ, and I'm sure many of you have, you went to Passover and maybe you had a little thing about somebody. Maybe you were upset with them and weren't getting along, and it just happened that they were the person you were put with to wash their feet. I've had a lot of people talk about that. You know, God helps us to humble ourselves and to be humble, and that's the way we should be. We should have that excitement to be there, to do whatever we have to do to show our dedication and our commitment to God. So let's take this short time we have before the Passover and really think about the meaning of why we're washing each other's feet, why we're taking the symbols, the bread and the wine, what they represent, and how important that is, because we have to rely on God. We have to rely on Jesus Christ as the head of this church to help us to sort things out, to help us to stay together, because we struggle as human beings. A lot of the times we don't have the answers, but God does. And if we can commit ourselves to Him, to understand the sacrifice that was made, to have that desire to grow in the love that God and Christ have for us, that we want to grow in that for them, but for each other, and to remember that Christ took a beating for us, that He was crucified for us. He took our place so we didn't have to be subject. But so we could become part of His family. He wants to share. Can you imagine with all of the leaders in the world today that take it all to themselves? If anyone could do that, God could do that. He could manipulate us like little puppets. And if that's what He wanted to do, but He chooses not to do that because of His love. God and Christ are setting the example of how true leaders are and how they should be. And that's what we're to learn. We can learn that by helping one another and learn to love one another. But let's think about the Passover. Let's prepare for the Passover because it's going to be here very quickly. But let's think about the love God has for us and all that He gives us and the great gift of the Sabbath that He gives us, that we can come out of this world that's just outside those windows that doesn't have a clue. But we're in here being educated so we can teach them how much God loves mankind and what He wants for them. We have a great opportunity here and a great calling, and we just need to be thankful for that and be mindful of that every day, especially when we're with each other. And so let's think about the Passover. Let's prepare for it. Let's look forward to it, a time of recommitment, a time of rededication, and a time to reflect on our Savior, Jesus Christ.